This is Alex. I'm from Boston.
Hello, this is Jackie, and I'm from Houston.
Hey, this is Rahul from Stanford.
And we are the Premier Chefs.
Hey guys, the Premier Chels is sponsored by Kickoff Coffee. They are a top quality artisanal roasted coffee. In other words, they're Champions League winner and Premier League winner every single time. They deliver fresh bags directly to your home, so you don't have to go to a coffee shop and pick up something. And the best part about them is every bag gives back to soccer charities. 10% of the proceeds go to organizations that use soccer to promote youth social development in the underserved areas. Use our code TPCOFFEE15 to get 15% off your order. You can order at kickoffcoffeeco.com or check out the links on our social media. Thanks.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chelsea, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Rahul. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see we're in the sunny, beautiful New Orleans. We're actually here for Blues Day. Rahul, how excited are you about this one?
I'm really hyped. I'm looking forward to it. This is the third one, right? So we've been building up for it for 3 years. And I'm looking forward to all the activities and festivities we'll get up to.
Yeah, so stay tuned on our Instagram. We'll try and put out some content as we go through this. Blues Days is not just about Chelsea and Wolves, but it's about Mardi Gras and some of the events that are happening in New Orleans. So hopefully exciting. You guys get to tune in and see what's going on. But before we dive into some of that content, we want to review Liverpool. I'm not sure if we're excited.
We have to.
I guess we're here together for the first time in a while, so we might as well. You'll see us looking down a little bit if you're watching us on YouTube, but we are going to be going through some of the stats we have on our phones here. So Rahul, why don't you take us through the starting 11 that Pochettino pulled up for Liverpool?
Yeah, so Petrovic in goal, Di Sassi at right back, Thiago Silva, Badiashile as center backs, Ben Chilwell, Jackie, starting as a natural left back, but I think that's only because Colwell was injured. Caicedo, Enzo in midfield, Raheem Sterling, Connor Gallagher, Madueke as the three behind Cole Palmer as our false nine.
Yeah, so I guess with everything that's going on, I think it's as good as a lineup we could have picked. We can debate that here in a second. Why don't we start with Ben Chilwell? How nice is it to have a natural left-sided left back really starting for this team?
It's honestly something we've been begging for and crying for. I know he's had his issues with injury. I know Pochettino has had his mindset up that he can play Colwell as that third or left-sided defender. But we've seen what Ben Chilwell brings to the team. Yeah. We saw Ben Chilwell against Middlesbrough, and I know Middlesbrough is a small sample size, but in that game, we were able to attack, we were able to defend, and it's just a natural fit. Yeah. It's someone you know that can do that position organically. Now, of course, he wasn't 100% match fit, so I know that was something that was factored in.
Yeah.
But seeing him from the start was, in my opinion, the right move.
It really was. Let's talk about the forward line with Cole Palmer leading the line. Nkunku coming back from injury, obviously, but he may not be able to play the full 90 minutes till he gets full fitness. Armando Broya was not in the Nash Day squad. We'll talk about him in a minute.
Well, he was on the bench.
He was on the bench, but we know he moved on loan to Fulham. We'll talk about it later in the episode. What do you think of Cole Palmer as the false nine? A lot of people online are saying it doesn't suit him. He's not able to get the effectiveness that we see when he comes from maybe a little deeper or maybe from that right-hand side.
I mean, it's worked in the past. I think we tried it against Man City, if I remember right. I forget who we played him against. And it worked because him and Conor Gallagher were able to just rotate and create some chaos. But in this game, I think we just needed that outlet. We needed that central striker so that Cole Palmer could operate off the right and exploit the space that the Liverpool fullbacks leave when they bomb forward. And I know Armando Broya was, like we said, on the bench, not in the 11, and completed his move a day later. But could we have given him at least 45 minutes? I don't know what the risk is. You have him maybe get injured and maybe not go on loan. But it's a good question to ask because now that Broya is gone, is Cole Palmer the third choice striker after Nkunku and Jackson?
Yeah, and, you know, Pochettino's referenced Washington. We haven't seen him play any minutes this year. And so a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there. Nothing of production for this team. So it's going to be interesting to see how we go on from here. But let's talk about the game for a few minutes, Rahul. We play a traditional formation. We start off okay. I wouldn't say we start off as well. It seems to be standard with us. And few early shouts for a penalty decision. And there were a few during the game. Now, I didn't get a chance to watch the game in detail. I was at work. There were some highlights I caught, and I said, those could be penalties. But I want to get your thoughts on that as well.
It's easy for us to feel like we were cheated. It's easy for us to feel like the referees didn't give the right decision, because when you look at that foul on Conor Gallagher, 9 times out of 10, it's given, especially with VAR. Maybe the referee misses on the field, but VAR, you know, will look at it, which they didn't in this case. And so it just so happens it was the one time out of the 10 that it didn't go our way. But we were creating enough. Yeah. And I'm of the sense that overall, we can't blame these decisions. Yeah. But I do feel like if we get that penalty and we get that first shot off or get the first goal, it maybe changes our mood a little bit, maybe changes our confidence a little 100%, bit. Yeah. Because we came into this game, and playing Liverpool away is never easy. But playing Liverpool away after Klopp has announced that he's leaving is almost a mission impossible, because you know that place is going to be fired up. We're now hearing about the last game of the season at Anfield is going for $3,000-$4,000 a ticket. Wow. So it is this kind of last dance, as we like to say these days. And it was never going to be easy. But if you get that first penalty, maybe you shush the crowd a little bit. You make Liverpool doubt themselves. But again, I hate relying on penalties, because we've gotten a fair share this season. And we've gotten enough luck that they kind of even themselves out over this.
Listen, everything you're saying is 100% accurate. I think at the end of the day, we need to do the business regardless of if we get the help from the referees or VAR. And my complaints to VAR is always the same. It's never consistent, which is causing these issues for us to even have these debates. But we didn't do the business on the day. We don't get the penalty. And yes, if we do, maybe it's a different situation. I still feel like we may have ended up losing that game, but maybe not to the level of 4-1. We might have had a 3-2 and taken it away and said we had a better performance than we did. But it started off like that. And from there, I didn't really see a way back. And unfortunately, I think a few minutes later, Jota comes through. And I want to talk about that really quickly, Rahul, because we've got experienced center backs. And I know Thiago Silva can't be doing it on himself. Badiashile, who had probably one of his worst games I've seen in a Chelsea shirt. And some of it was down to him with poor timing and things. Some of it was he's out on left back and that's not his natural role. But for that first goal between him and Thiago Silva, Jota had no right to make it through them. But he does it with pure determination and he slots it home. What are your thoughts on that one? Because I was frustrated to watch it on highlights.
It was honestly coming. It was. I know we spoke about our penalty shout, but it was a goal that was coming. And you know when Jota is in there, he's just that got that poacher instinct. He's got that instinct of, I'm going to get ahead of the defender. And you really need to be 100% focused. You really need to be 100% match fit, which I don't think Badiashile is at this point. And for how great Thiago Silva is, he is 39. Yeah. He is kind of at the end of his career, and he can't do it all himself. So, look, it was a goal that Liverpool worked really well, and Jota gets in front of Badiashile, I believe, and finishes it off. And it was a deserved goal, I have to say. I'm wearing a Chelsea shirt, but I have to say it was deserved and reflected how dominant Liverpool were in those early stages.
Yeah, we really couldn't hold them back. They were just crowding us out in every possible position. I think before we start recording, Rahul and I like to have chats, and I think one thing he said, which I didn't notice when I was watching the highlights, is Caicedo really struggled on his own. He didn't really get the support of Enzo or Conor Gallagher. And I know they try, but that's not their natural position to come back and really help him out of these situations. And the midfield rebuild, if you can call it that, for Liverpool seems to be going very well so far. They found the right players in the profile that fits, I want to say Jurgen Klopp style, but it's Liverpool style over the last 9 or 10 years, where they're high energy, they're fast paced, they're willing to do the dirty work and run and close down Caicedo. And he was overrun. We really couldn't get out of midfield for a while. I remember the commentator in parts of the game that I was watching for highlights say, I think Liverpool have had 6 or 7 shots to Chelsea's 0. And to a certain degree, I expected that, like this was going to happen. But we really couldn't get out of our own half. Liverpool has pinned back, and it was only a matter of time before another goal comes. And I want to talk about this young man, Rahul. It is Bradley. Who's playing right back in place of Trent Alexander-Arnold. And we've had this debate for a long time of Trent Alexander-Arnold versus Reece James. And Reece is out injured, so he falls off the discussion. Trent goes out injured, he falls off the discussion. You go, who's going to fill the role at Liverpool? And they've plucked another talent so far. It looks from the academy, and he was fantastic. I think he ended up being man of the match as well.
He did. He got a goal. He got two assists.
Yep.
So, look, you got to give credit to the boy. He's a young guy coming through. You got to give credit to Klopp for playing him and trusting him because Trent was on the bench.
Yep.
So it could have been easy. Let me start with Trent and then maybe bring the youngster on. But he was full of energy. He was determined. It's almost one of those things I was talking about where everyone feels like they owe it to Klopp to send him off in a good way. And what better person to do it than someone that has been given the opportunity by Klopp. So the goal he scores is a great goal, but is there a foul in the buildup? Is there something that could have been done, should have been done? It was looked at. And maybe, again, it's with me with my blue shirt saying, looks like Jota and Chilwell is a foul on Chilwell because that's a space that Conor Bradley runs into. And we can say Raheem Sterling should be tracking back, but these things happen so fast. They're split-second decisions, split-second balls that are played. And Raheem was just caught sleeping and Chilwell wasn't in the position. And it's a free run and honestly a good finish.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes back to the point we're saying for the first goal is we couldn't get out of there. We didn't take our chances. We didn't take our opportunities. And we are willing to say, well, if the referee did this or if the referee did that. And I completely agree with that, right? The referee making the right calls could change this game. But at the end of the day, there's enough opportunities in 90 minutes for us to make our own opportunity. And we just don't do that. Performance was just not good enough. So we go down 2-0 at halftime. And I think before this game kicked off, Rahul, you had predicted a 3-0 loss for us. We were well on way for that. Did you see anything he could have done, said at halftime, that could have potentially changed it? The reason I'm asking is we'll talk about how quickly we go down again, but is there something he could have done to make these changes so that we could have come back and fought a little more aggressively?
I mean, so you touched on the midfield. We were getting overrun. Caicedo was getting overrun. And people are wondering, why did we spend all this money on actually Caicedo and Enzo? Because you're looking at it, you're saying $200 million in midfield and they're getting overrun. Something's not right.
Yeah.
And so the one change that I really wanted to see was, let's just solidify the midfield. At 2-0, I think the game was lost. It was only going to get worse from there. And I know people will point to the past games where we've gone down 2-0 to Liverpool and come back. This isn't the same Chelsea. We did it earlier in the season, but this isn't the same Chelsea. And at Anfield, you know Liverpool are just going to continue keep going and keep going. And so I honestly felt at that point, let's just try to win the second half. Let's just try to not win the game, but come back and stay solid and stay defensively tight. And if we nick a goal early, okay, you can build that back up and try to get the second one. But let's not concede the third. That didn't happen. I know he made three changes at halftime. Gusto came on. Palmer dropped deeper. And I forget the other two changes. But it's, again, we just didn't have the midfield to cope with Liverpool, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the lineup here, and I'm giving Pochettino maybe a little bit of an excuse or a get-out-of-jail-free card. We talked about this as well. He seems to pick Enzo, Caicedo, and Conor Gallagher in that midfield trio. And for most games this season, they seem to complement each other well. Of course, in the Liverpool game, I would think you would want to go a little more defensive, a little more solid in that midfield. Not saying that these guys can't do it, but Rahul, this season and even last season, how many times have you seen Enzo want to get stuck in and get dirty with a tackle? I really haven't. Gallagher can do it, but he's more of a running and closing down kind of person. We've seen when he gets too aggressive, it's a red card. We're not comfortable with that. So really, as far as that steal in midfield, you look at Caicedo and he can't do it on his own. But I look at this lineup and we're missing Lavia. Maybe he was the guy that could come in and be more defensive. Ugochukwu, big, strong. Another guy that's out on injury, which is leading us to struggle. The rest of these players, I think maybe Kasadai has come back from loan and he could have done it, but it's his first minutes in Chelsea and it's a big game to come back. Maybe he's not the right position. So I'll give Pochettino a get-out-of-jail-free card for that one. And Liverpool, to their credit, continue from there. Bradley to Szoboszlai. Szoboszlai with a lovely header to put it in. And from there, all your 3-0 predictions up. And I'm not sure what we can say what happens next after that.
I mean, I wasn't proud of making that prediction. But if you look at the way things are going, we were at a point where we had won, what, 2-3, not lost to Villa. Yeah. So I count that as you know,
good form.
Good run, right? And so we were due a dip, which is tends to be the case where it's like three games and a dip, two games and a dip. Unfortunately, it came in this game. But I want to go back to what you were talking about. Yes, there are players injured. Yes, there are issues within the squad where maybe we're not balanced or don't have the right fit. But I look at maybe United a month or 6 weeks ago. They went away to Liverpool.
Yeah.
dug in, did what they had to do. I'm not saying that's the way to play football or that's what we should be doing on a regular basis, but they made the most of what they had. Bruno Fernandes, the captain, was injured. They found a way to get a 0-0. Look, I'm not saying Poch out, but I'm wondering in certain games, especially the big games, what is our plan? What is tactically, what are we doing? And people will say, well, Badiashile makes two mistakes and we concede goals. But if you set up your team in a way that you're not under pressure constantly, mistakes might not happen. Or maybe a mistake happens, but another player is able to cover up. So I look at Pochettino in that case and I say, could you have set up us a little bit different? Could you have done something different? Could you have tactically made us sit a little bit deep? Yeah. I'm not saying park the bus.
Yeah.
But sit a little bit deeper, rely on the pace of Sterling and Madueke, Mudrik, and hit Liverpool where it hurts when they come forward. I expect us to go into every big game, barring a Tottenham meltdown, to lose it because we're too open in the way I see it.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying is maybe tactically he should adjust his team for different opposition, which I think you look at the likes of maybe a Jose Mourinho in the past or Carlo Ancelotti, and while they'd like to play a certain way, we were able to adjust to the different teams and say, today a little bit more open, to a little more close. And maybe Pochettino is trying to build this team and figure out, I want to be this expansive flowing team, because I've always said, it makes me very, very nervous when we play from the back. And for whatever reason, we will have all of Liverpool pressing us and we will still try to play from the back. And it doesn't always go well. And so I'm wondering if you can change these kind of things for that. And if it means that means, hey, Raheem, you can't run as much as you want to be ready to play on the counter. Yeah. Or Mudrik, I want to talk about him in a second. You're going to be the one that we rely on for when we do get that break. Use your pace and just run at the goalkeeper as fast as you can and take a shot. So maybe that's when you can give Pochettino a little bit of a point and say, you've been in the management field for a long time. You've managed the likes of Tottenham. You've managed PSG, now Chelsea. If you know that this is a project and you don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, which is crazy to think about with the billion that's been spent, but you don't have all the pieces you need. You have a lot of people in injury. Make it tight. Make it compact. Would we lose that game? Probably. Would we get embarrassed for one? Maybe not. And that might be the key we take away from it. So it's a very good discussion point. Let's talk about Mudrik, Rahul, because I can't remember when he has that opportunity. If it's a 2-1.
I think it was 2-0.
2-0. So it becomes 2-1 if he gets that in the game. Again, it's about taking opportunities, not relying on the referee. A lot of Chelsea fans like to point the finger at the management. Well, Mudrik's young. He doesn't get the opportunity. We're playing him out of position. We're not bringing him as a starter. He needs to build confidence. He's coming down when we're losing games. And I look at it and I go, all fair points. Chelsea fans have their rights to say it's this person or that person. But I look at it and say, Mudrik, it's your fault at some point to decide if and when you take your opportunities that are given to you. And I understand the ball from Gusto in that moment might have bobbled. I understand it might come at him fast. But at the end of the day, he's an extremely talented player that needs to bury these chances to tell us, I will be a success at Chelsea. And I'm not saying do it week in, week out. But there's enough frequency with Mudrik missing simple chances that make me concerned today. So I want to get your thoughts on the miss and Mudrik overall.
I mean, it is a concern. How confident were you when you see that? Of course, you knew the result, but I was watching it maybe live, maybe not, because I was also at work, but I had it on. And I saw it on replay when we had missed it, because I heard the commentator be like, Mudrik!
Yeah.
And I watched it on replay, and I was like, if I had watched this live, I probably wasn't confident that was going to go in, because it just hasn't gone for him. It hasn't been his moment. It hasn't been his time. He's had flashes, but it's now been a year since he's been here. And I honestly don't know. I think it's affected him with similar to what we used to talk about with Kai Havertz, where the body language is kind of a little let down, a little shy, a little just timid and in his own mind, where he sees the ball played in and he's not like, this is my goal.
Yep.
He's almost like, let me do my best not to sky it. And so I think, and I know a few people have suggested, alone might be the right move for him, because the pressures of playing for Chelsea are extremely high. He would have gone to Arsenal and he would have been behind Martinelli and Saka. We're expecting him to come in and be like the starter. Yep. And yes, I know he doesn't start every game. He's behind Sterling. But if he was able to demonstrate
of course,
what he can and should be doing, he could be a starter. And I don't know if he's ready for that just yet. So I think a loan may help. But then that creates another question is, can we go out and spend another 50, 60 million on a winger that may be ready for this stage?
And that's where this whole discussion comes full circle of how have we spent 1 billion and don't have a team of 18 players that can be ready to fight week in, week out. And of course, of those 18, four or five of them have to be young players right. that have potential. But really, we're at this point where everybody's a young player that has potential. And there's not one, Rahul, that I can think of. And Pochettino said this in his press conference, and we've talked about this in the podcast, is Cole Palmer seems to be the exception to the rule. And when Cole Palmer's on, Chelsea's on. And when Cole Palmer's off, which unfortunately in every game we've been poor in, he's been off, or he's not been able to get the space or the ball or the opportunities.
Or a penalty.
Or a penalty in this case to get this done. So we can't rely on him. We have to find a couple more leaders, a couple more players that are willing to step up to the plate. And I'm disappointed to say that at 1 billion, I can't see that in this Chelsea team today. So Pochettino has his work cut out for him. There's a lot more to go. But I think we are at 31 points so far this season, which is as much as we got last season, I believe. So there are slight improvements at this point. There are slight improvements so far. So I think hopefully we can put the – and maybe that's a good question. I'll wrap up with the final goal. Fourth goal coming in the form – sorry, actually, let's talk about Christopher Nkunku first.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe a bright spark. He comes on and maybe a goal out of nothing. He finds position to squeeze through and gets it done.
Carney does well in the build-up, runs through the lines, plays it into him. Nkunku quick with his feet and gets a shot off. And we've seen flashes again from Nkunku. I know he's had injury issues, which maybe is a different question of why didn't we do a due diligence there? But I've seen enough from him that if we're able to feed him the ball with a little bit of space, he has the ability to finish it. It's not like a Nico Jackson situation where he's skying it or he's doubting himself and needs five or six chances, because we saw it against Wolves a few weeks ago. So that gives me some hope, but I need to see him stay fit and continue playing. What I hate is us crossing a ball into him when he's playing against Konate and Van Dijk.
Yeah, it's not his profile.
That's not what he's here for. And I'm hoping now that Jackson is back from AFCON, he can play that striker position. Maybe Nkunku plays off of him. And they build a chemistry. And for the sake of Chelsea, that chemistry works out. Because if those two are able to get the best out of each other, like we saw in preseason, there might be something there that could get us excited for the rest of the season. But a good goal, something that we maybe deserved with the penalty shouts, which maybe Christo and Nkunku should have had a penalty as well. But a good goal, something to take home as a positive.
Yeah.
But then Liverpool scored again.
And listen, when you're losing 3-1 and the fourth goes in, I almost counted as we were down and out. It's just there. Jose Mourinho said this famously. I think we were losing 2-0.
Middlesbrough.
Yeah, and we scored a third. And he goes, hey, your team lost 3-0. He goes, 2-0. And they go, no, you lost 3-0. He's like, that third one doesn't count. We were already down and out. So we'll take it as 3-1. But no, I think you mentioned injuries. We can honestly do an episode on injuries alone. There's so much going on at Chelsea Football Club with injuries that we need to maybe do a deep dive, talk about it, and figure out what's going on there. But I want to ask you this. 4-1, and Pochettino says we weren't good enough, but we know we were not good enough to beat Liverpool. We're not the finished product, and Liverpool took a couple seasons to ramp up and get to where they need to be. Is this one where we've had a good run, we've now had that blip, and it is against Liverpool, the mighty Liverpool, we can call them for now. We just take it out of our mind, move forward, reset, and then go back to training ground and say, this was a bump. It is a very, very good team. We are a good team that's trying to find our feet, trying to find our style, trying to find our identity. Put this to the side and let's rebuild from here.
I mean, that's all we can do, right? Because we take it on the chin. We've taken a few of these, like the Middlesbrough away we lost. We came back and we put it right.
Yep.
It's for us, honestly, going away to Liverpool was like, let's just get it done with and move on, regardless of what happens, because it's a game that we're expected to not pick up any points in. And we move on now, and it's Wolves at home.
Yep.
Villa away in the replay. Crystal Palace away, Man City away, and then Liverpool again in the final. So I want to say I'm positive about let's just move on to the next one, but I look at it, I'm like, our away form's been horrible. Yep. We won one game against Luton in maybe the five or six last away games. I look at it, I'm like, we're going away to Villa. That's going to be tough. Are we going out of the FA Cup, which is another blow, because the Carabao Cup, yes, we made it to the final, but
There's chances we may lose that one.
There's high chances that we lose that one. Away to Palace. Palace made it extremely difficult for us. Then City, Jackie. And if Liverpool tore us apart like that, City are going to be hungry to put that 4-4 right from earlier this season. And they're also in a title challenge. So are we winning a game in February? I honestly am not positive.
It's hard to tell. And I think this is where the whole segment of this section comes to a close of between the players and Pochettino, there's key moments, right? Pochettino, change your style. If we know we can't play out from the back right now, we know that we don't have the confidence or the goal scorers to do this. Keep it tight. Get back to basics. Try and get that. In Wolves, I'm going to say we need to try and do a little better, but maybe against the City or against the Villa, keep it tight, play on the counterattack, get that goal, sit tight again. I know that these players weren't designed for this, but we've all played football. Again, I put my hands up and tell you I wasn't the greatest footballer out there, but if we need to sit back and pass to each other and just lump it forward and try and get a counterattack going, it can be done. It doesn't matter how good or bad the players, how talented or skilled they are. Sure, we're not playing to their strengths, but when we play to their strengths now, we're not winning these big games or these big fixtures. So hopefully that's something Pochettino can take. And from the for the player standpoint, I look at that Liverpool game and I even look at that Middlesbrough game. I know we had a good win in between, but the one we lost, who steps up to the plate, Raul? Who is a leader that says, we're not playing well, stay calm, be tight, be compact? Not necessarily going against Poch's wishes, but saying, we're starting to panic now. We're starting to break apart. Badiashile, you had a bad move there. Pick up your head, son. Be stable. Don't give away. Don't lose your line. Little things like that I don't see it happening. And I know Connor is a captain, or if Ben Chilwell is on there, I need to see a little more passion, a little more aggression from these guys. And I hope that it comes in the next few games, and that's something Pochettino can bring to the forefront, I hope.
I mean, that's the hope. It's instead of playing as 11 individuals, play as a team, play for each other, and just do the basics. I think you're right. That's what it comes down to. But I think the setup has been, it's go, go, go. Yeah. We're gonna attack. We're going to do everything we need to. And maybe we're not there yet, especially in these kind of games where we're expected to lose. Let's just use that. I think Jose Mourinho used to do it the best, where he would say, we're the underdog, we'll play like the underdog, but we will hit you. And when we hit you, you won't feel like it's the underdog. So look, it's a tough month. This was similar to, like we just said, 31 points at this stage at the end of January going into February. And we know what happened from February onwards into May. So it's an opportunity for Pochettino to reassess things a little bit, put things right. And you never know. The final is a different game.
Yeah.
And I feel like we had a very similar situation under Sarri, where we went away to City, lost 6-0, went into a final against the same team. And I think we took penalties.
Yeah, we did well.
So let's learn from it. Let's learn from it and adapt in the next game and the game after that. And then we see where it takes us.
And I know we'll do a build up towards the final, but there is something to be said about a cup team versus a Premier League team. And interesting enough, we talked about it with Tuchel, was this team was highly motivated for knockout games, where when the pressure's against them, they were able to step up and get a win, versus finding consistency week in, week out, and self-motivation maybe in the Premier League. Well, if we don't win this one, we'll win the next one and slowly climb the table, versus in cup football, it's like, boys, this is all or nothing. You've got to do it. So hopefully we'll build up there and we'll see a little more positive results as we get there. But for now, embarrassing result. But if you're a listener and watcher, hopefully this is something that Chelsea can put to the back and then move forward. And kind
just
of
another positive, Jackie. Petrovic.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Could have been 7-8 without him and without Nunez hitting the bar. But
twice at least.
But we don't
have
to talk about that. I think Petrovic has been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
We were wondering, this kid out of New England, what is he going to bring? But from what I've seen, he's brought a lot more than other players have brought in that position. So question for you. Sanchez is back, I believe, training on the grass. He's back fit. Pochettino's decision to make. What do you think he should be doing?
Listen, it's a very easy decision for me. I've seen enough of Petrovic and I've seen enough of Sanchez. I think that Petrovic has given me a lot more confidence. I think that the center backs have a lot more confidence playing the ball to him. He isn't the prettiest with his feet, but I think that he's better than Sanchez at this point in time. He's a good shot stopper. So I would not change things. I would keep it as is. And for Sanchez, it's unfortunate because he lost his place in Brighton. He came to Chelsea to maybe be the number two, but Kepa goes on loan and he comes to be the number one. But it is where at this point where Petrovic has stood up to the challenge. And so you go back to the drawing board and work as hard as you can in training, and hopefully you get to win that number one spot back. And if you don't, do what goalkeepers do, support each other.
Right.
And when your opportunity does come in the form of a cup game or an injury, take it with both hands, literally and figuratively. So that's kind of my thoughts on
Petrovic. I agree with you. I if I'm Pochettino, I stick with Petrovic and let Sanchez earn the spot, because that's what should happen in any position. But we'll see what Pochettino does.
And Pochettino likes to give us some confusion when he does his team lineups. But speaking of team lineups, let's talk about the transfer window. It is now officially shut. And I talk about team lineups because there were a lot of changes, but not major changes in the last couple of seasons and transfer windows. The Chelsea ownership and the Chelsea directors of football have spent a lot of money. In fact, I think in January of last year, we had like five new players come in. And I was wondering, we're building a whole new team in January. But nothing major, Rahul. I think the big one to talk about is Armando Broja coming out on loan. It seems to be a very fantastic loan. The little bit that I know about it is that it's a very, very cheap, I think $750,000 to potentially no money for Fulham. If Broja plays 10 games plus a certain amount of minutes, we don't know what the details of that is. And if he doesn't, Fulham will have to pay us a £4 million loan. So one way or the other, I think they're incentivized to play him. And he scored one goal for us this season. It was a bullet header. It looked lovely. He was a little bit aggressive in that Manchester City game where he won us a penalty. He has come off a very, very bad injury. And it doesn't seem like Pochettino has trusted him or given him the opportunity to play enough minutes. What do you think of this loan? I know Fulham have good wingers. Maybe it's something that can play to his strength and style.
Personally, for him, I think it's a great move. It's an opportunity for him to go out and get minutes, which he wasn't doing at Chelsea. Get fit, get match fit. And within West London, just down the street, doesn't have to move, doesn't have to travel, doesn't have to find a new home. So the settling and all of that that we consider with players moving isn't into effect. And Fulham are a good team. We've seen them create opportunities, seen them score a lot of goals. And Broja, with the opportunity, should be capitalizing on it. Not to maybe stay at Chelsea, but to earn a move somewhere else, maybe stay at Fulham. But then I look at it from our perspective, and I say R as Chelsea. Nkunku has had issues. So are we now expecting that he's going to stay fit for the next 3 months? I really hope so. Jackson has stayed fit. The issues have been with finishing. And then if you don't have those two, your option is to play Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
So selfishly, as a fan, like, did we really need to send him out on loan? Couldn't we have kept in and kept the options? But then we have maybe 10, 11, 12 Premier League games to go. We have a cup final, and then we have one FA Cup game, depending on what happens there. So maybe the opportunities may not have been for him to play, and then you get into the summer, and it's a different conversation. Right. So overall, I think it balances out as a good move, but only time will tell. And bringing no one in tells me that they want to see what Broja can do.
Yep.
Sell him in the summer and bring that big name in.
And we've heard rumors of who that will be, so we'll see what happens. Chelsea have found a model where they are finding a way to pre-sign players, maybe stay out of the drama of what we saw with Enzo and Modric, which honestly I love. I think
and that's Caicedo.
I thought they forgot about the drama, but they brought it into the summer. But Rahul, one of the interesting things that has happened is we've recalled some of the youth that went out on loan. And I'm not sure what the thinking behind it is. Obviously, Andre Santos from Nottingham wasn't playing, came back, and he's going out on loan.
Strasbourg.
We've got Cassidy back. He was doing fantastic at Leicester, so that one is a head scratcher. But we talked about injuries to Lavia. We talked about Wichuku. Maybe he's coming in to add numbers to that midfield. And Moreira has come back from Lyon. I don't know if he just didn't get enough minutes. I don't see where he falls into the pecking order of this. It's almost stunting his growth. So I want to get your thoughts on the callbacks and what the thinking behind that is. It sounds like Pochettino wasn't too involved with it, but now he's got options, at least a couple in the wing and in the midfield.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, we needed some reinforcements. We needed some players to come in. If I'm Pochettino, I'm looking at him saying, I think it was after the Wolves game, right before Christmas Eve. No, actually Everton game, early December, where he said, we need experience. We need to go into January looking for experience. And I'm looking at him like, where's the experience? But then I look at it from the club perspective. And in general, actually, all of the Premier League, all of Europe...
Didn't spend as much.
I'm looking at Fabrizio Romano and I'm like, you had a very chill transfer window. Because at the rate things were going with not just Chelsea, but just in general...
Yeah.
Signing after signing and links after links. And this January was just very calm. So maybe the opportunities weren't there. Maybe Chelsea have other plans for the summer and want to see what these youngsters can do, because maybe they might sell them and make a little bit of profit and buy someone else. But yeah, look, it's an opportunity for Cassidy. It's an opportunity. I don't know if Diego
Moreira
is with the first team, but I know Leon were trying to sign side Benrahma, so maybe that was an option we knew Moreira wasn't going to get game time. Santos has gone back out on loan. I really hope he can play, because in preseason he looked really good.
Did, yeah.
And the few minutes Cassidy came on, he brings a different profile to this midfield. Yep. He brings a different attribute to the midfield that may not require Enzo to be pushing forward and leaving the space. So, look, it's an interesting move. I'm glad we didn't just go out and throw money at problems like we have in the past. But we do need to fix some problems in the summer. So hopefully we saved our money for that.
Yeah, and honestly, this is what the ownership model has been leaning towards, which is being a little more strategic with their purchasing and hopefully getting the business, just like the Nkunku deal, behind the scenes, work on it and make it happen. So we've heard rumors of Osimhen. I don't know if he wants to come to a messy Chelsea that we are right now, but we are screaming for our number nine, and maybe they're doing the business behind the scenes.
He did go off injured, I believe, for Nigeria today. So
of course, Chelsea will sign him when he's injured. But no, nothing major on the transfer front.
So
Ian Mattson doing very well. He had gone on loan to Borussia Dortmund, and he's doing well. So another questionable one, Rahul, with left-sided left backs that we are looking for and forcing Colwell over there. But
is that honestly just an easy thing to ding Pochettino against? Because Mattson had done it in the championship for Burnley. He goes to the Bundesliga, different league, different physicality. Maybe the ding against Pochettino is you didn't get the chance.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like Mattson just didn't have the attributes of playing defensively and in attack. I think he's great going forward, but maybe defensively would have been found out a little bit. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I think, but you have preseason to assess that player, right? And you and I had an opportunity to watch him very closely. And one thing that we noticed was he rarely played at left back.
Right, and you even asked Pochettino that,
And if that's the case, and if you knew that your left back position long-term was not going to be him, and to be perfectly frank, your left attacking midfielder or your right attacking midfielder positions were filled, they had an offer from Burnley in the summer. And so to maybe drag it out was an interesting case too.
I think Mattson said no to that.
Yeah. So let's see how it plays out. It might be this is a good opportunity for Mattson to prove himself. And he comes back and he's another opportunity for him to try again at left back or attacking midfield.
I think he might get sold.
Or he might get sold for FFP reasons, whatever the situation may be, but definitely an interesting one. Let's move on and build up to the reason we're here in the beautiful New Orleans. It's sunny. If you're watching us on YouTube, sorry for the glare, but it is a beautiful day out here. Rahul's coming from 30 degrees, 40 degrees.
Yeah, it was freezing.
Yeah, and we're pushing 75 today and sunny, so let's talk about Wolves, Rahul. Usually we do a match preview, a build-up.
And I give you some stats.
Yeah, let's talk about some fun stats.
You ready for these stats? Because usually when I give them...
Let me say one thing. When I ask him for some fun stats, they're always negative stats. I'm very excited.
They're negative.
They're positive but become negative. Yes.
Chelsea are unbeaten in their last 10 home league games against Wolves since a 2-1 loss in March of 1979.
Wow, that's a long period since we've done this.
Following their 2-1 win at the Molyneux on Christmas Eve, we know Wolves won. They're looking to complete a league double against Chelsea for the first time since 1974-75. Wow. So we're like before we were born.
Yeah.
Chelsea have won each of their last four Premier League home games, which I think we do need to talk about our home form.
Yep.
As many as they had in their previous 22 at Stamford Bridge. They last won more consecutively at home between February and July 2020. So even under Tuchel, we didn't win more than that. So at home. So look, it's, again, points towards
winning, but...
But we saw Wolves on Thursday against Man United. They were down 2-0, came back 2-1, down 3-1, came back 3-3, and lost it right at the end. So they have goals in them.
They're fighting them.
They're fighting them for sure. And they were, I think, one that we were maybe thinking might go down. They've made some signings, and here they are fighting and putting in decent performances.
Yeah. So who do we think is going to line up against Wolves? Because we've talked about Pochettino's injuries. We've talked about him liking to play players out of position. It is an opportunity. I know they're a difficult team, and they've shown that they have goals in them. we've shown that we like to leak goals. So who do you think he's going to start into this game? Maybe give me a Petrovic and goal,
Petrovic
obviously.
Petrovic and goal,
give me a back four you think he's going to go with. We've had a lot of choices. Badiashile, Ben Chilwell at left back. Colwell, is he back fit? I don't know.
I don't know. I think we obviously missed Pochettino's press conference today. But barring any injuries or knowing the details, I would go Gusto.
Right back.
Di Sassi, Thiago Silva, Chilwell.
Okay. So you're going to go with two traditional fallbacks, which I can count maybe on my hands how many times we've seen that this season. It's usually a center back playing or an inverse fallback in the position. So I'm excited for that. I really like to see two traditional fallbacks. Hopefully Pochettino doesn't disappoint us. Midfield three, is he sticking with the same guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's not that many options. So Caicedo, Enzo, and Gallagher.
Gallagher, okay. And a three up front?
Sterling. I'm guessing Gallagher is going to be playing down the as a number 10. Or Enzo, who knows. Palmer and Nicholas Jackson.
So you think Jackson will come back from AFCON and ready to take hold? Or do you think Nkunku might start this game?
I think Nkunku will be on the bench. He's obviously just coming back from an injury. Jackson went away to AFCON, but from what I've read, and I didn't watch the games, but he did start most of them on the bench.
Yep.
So
should be fit enough.
Should be fit. Should be maybe even a little rested since he hasn't played every game. And honestly, it's an opportunity for him to come back and say, this is what you guys were missing.
Listen, if he comes back and he shows us that, I will be excited because Chelsea fans have been all over the board. We talked about Nicholas Jackson is great in preseason. Then why did we sign this guy? And he goes on, scores a hat trick, and he goes, yes, he's the answer. And then he starts missing again. Why did we sign this guy? And then play Broya. And of course, Broya gets his chance. And then it goes, yes, I'm so excited for Broya to, well, I don't know why Broya is playing. He's not good enough to bring Jackson back because we've missed him. So for me, I'm excited. I hope he can get this opportunity to prove what we have been missing. I think he can bring a little bit of a target man. And hopefully in that second half, Rahul, we can see Nkunku and him link up like you alluded to and maybe get the business done. So the big question is, and I love asking this question to Rahul because you guys don't get to see the behind the scenes of when we chat about making the score lines. But
I'm just looking at the standings. But yes, go ahead.
What do you predict this game is going to end as?
So Chelsea in 10th. 31 points. Wolves in 11th.
Yeah.
29 points. It is going to be a draw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if we win it, and honestly, for the sake of this weekend, for the sake of being in New Orleans with the Louisiana boys, I really hope we just go out and put in a great performance, 3-0. But that's not who Chelsea are. So I'll go for a positive result just for this, 2-1. But I think it will be 1-1.
All right, so he's going for a positive result, 2-1, but deep down somewhere he thinks it's 1-1. I was actually going to say 2-1 as well. I would hope to see a reaction. At the end of the day, we've discussed all of the reasons why Liverpool was the way it was, but it was still a poor performance, and I think we should see a reaction. We're back at home. You talked about home form a little bit.
I think it's 10 unbeaten.
Yep, so hopefully this is an opportunity to at least continue unbeaten, but I would love to get the result and get the win. The 3 points put a little bit of gap between us and 11th. I like being in 10th so far. It's helped keep the pace on Man United and some of the other guys that are above us. So 2-1 for me as well. I think we can get the business done with the goals, so it should be exciting. Before we wrap up today's segment, Rahul, I want to talk a little bit about Blues Day. That's why we are here. We're in New Orleans to spend time with Carefree Louisiana, the boys from the New Orleans chapter of the Chelsea in America side. What can you tell us about Blues Day?
So third annual Blues Day starts in 20 minutes, so we got to wrap this up soon. It starts tonight and at a meetup, at a bar tonight.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have to credit the boys here. They do a great job with inviting everyone, spreading the word. And people travel from New York, from California, from Houston, and all over the U.S. to make it here for the weekend. Because it's as much as Chelsea have been bad, it's about hanging out. It's about, we went out earlier today. People were like, oh, Chelsea. And people recognize the name. People recognize the shirts. And it's just a great time to hang out, meet other people. And for you and me to be here to have the opportunity to meet up and record and actually do some other things with the boys later, it's just great. We started this to do these kind of things.
Exactly.
And so it starts tonight. Tomorrow is the Mardi Gras parades, which I'm excited for. I've heard a lot about them. Yeah. Never actually got to experience them. And they start early. So we'll we'll see how tonight goes. And then Sunday, obviously, is the game. And then there's a raffle, signed shirts, and we'll be doing some reactions. So all in all, a great weekend with some great people. And stay tuned to our Instagram, stay tuned to our social media, because we will be posting and sharing not just the Chelsea stuff, but also the Mardi Gras stuff.
Yeah, and my wrapping up thoughts on this is it's an opportunity to spend time with like-minded Chelsea fans. We all know the highs that we've gone through for a long time, and we're going through some lows now as well. And what a better way to kind of see the perspective of other Chelsea fans in the United States. We know what it's like abroad, but it's good to see the Chelsea brand is big in the US, guys. It's massive. And you walk the streets, people recognize the logo. And I think I want to see it grow more. So if you're not part of a supporters club, definitely do.
Right.
If you're not joining Blues Days this year, maybe next year you can make it an opportunity to come out here. And I think the beauty of it is it's not just Chelsea. You get to explore New Orleans. You get to explore the Mardi Gras parades, which is fantastic. And maybe have a couple of beers with a Chelsea fan, which would be absolutely great. But Rahul, why don't you take us home?
Or a hurricane.
Or a hurricane. There you go.
But that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us. It's at the Premier Chels on all podcast providers, YouTube, and on Instagram and Twitter. It's at the Premier Chels Pod. And we will be back with a new episode. And watch out for our weekend activities. But until then, up the Chels. The Premier Chels has partnered with FuboTV. FuboTV is your home for live sports and TV without a cable in the US and Canada. You can watch on all your devices, which means you don't have to miss any of the actions or goals that Chelsea score in the Premier League and Champions League.
You heard that right. FuboTV networks broadcast Premier League, Champions League, and many other leagues and tournaments. So what are you waiting for? Start your free trial today at FuboTV.com/TPC.